Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
We worry about the wrong things because we invest in the wrong things. It's where we put all of our stock, in those things. What you invest in the most reveals where your heart is. That's something we should actually, that would be a Selah thought right there. Not because I said it, because you need to really think about what you're investing in the most. Where is your time going? Where's your money going?
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In today's message, Pastor Troy will be teaching us the importance of trusting in the Lord. If you have a problem with worrying about your circumstances, your real problem is a lack of faith in Christ. The way you can get your focus off your earthly problems is to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. As we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, The Cure for Worry.
Verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal." These are things we worry about. Oh, it's breaking down. What if it breaks? You know, you drop your iPhone. Oh, it's scratched. Now I need the $1,000 cover for my iPod, just in case. And so we worry. We spend money because we worry. We worry about thieves breaking in and steal. I'll just tell you right now, I'm not worried. My house, I'm not worried. I have never heard of a thief breaking in, unbolting your house from the foundation and walking off with the house. Now, I would worry about that. I want my house. But the stuff inside it, I'm not all that worried about it with the stuff that I have. But I bet many of you are. I bet you're worried. If they got into your garage, into some of the junk in the garage, you'd still worry. That's junk, and you don't want them touching that. It's my junk. It's my stuff, man. Is the garage shut all the way? Don't put windows on the garage, man. They can see in. Do we have an alarm? We don't have to have a real alarm. We just want something that beeps. Anything that beeps. Signs. Put the make my day. You know, all the signs. They're all there. Because we're worried about our stuff. Gated communities. A friend who had to live in gated communities. And we lived in a little gated apartment one time, and it freaked my dad out because the Domino's guy we called showed up and knocked on our door. What? The Domino's guy got in this fence! Violation! Who do we call? You know, we're just worried. Who cares for you? Who protects you? You guys know, many of you who are here, when we first moved into the building, one of the first things that happened was we got our copper stole from the air conditioning units. And I was freaking out. I was thinking, should I sleep here? No, they might kill me. You know, what am I supposed to do? They might take me next. And so we planned to fence them in, get cameras. We had all kinds of plans. What can we do? How can we make this not happen? We'll have people here. We'll have lights that go off. Maybe dogs barking. You know, we didn't know what we would do. And then it was as if, it wasn't as if, it was the Lord who spoke to my heart and just said, "Can't I protect this place?" And I thought, yes, but you didn't the first time. And he reminded me, everything happens for a purpose. I learned through that there's sometimes something happens and it's like we can't trust God ever again. Somebody hurt me. I can never trust in it. I can never trust the Lord again. And we hold on to these things and we're never able to trust God again. And for me, he said, "Look, I want you to trust me with this place." And so I prayed. And the things, and it was ministry. We did get some wrought iron around the units. But that turned out to be ministry. A guy needed work. And we were turned on to him, and it was a ministry thing. And we hired him, and we paid him to do it, to give him a job. We were actually going to have him do the full back, but we didn't really have the green light on that one. But that was more ministry. But as far as the cameras and stuff, we were thinking, what kind? We need very good images. If we want to see their faces, you know, we want to see their eyes, we want to get them. And I was like, the Lord was saying, you don't need all that. And then we thought, okay, we don't need the cameras. We'll put a bubble, just a bubble that looks like there's a camera here. You don't need all that. I said, trust me. So we currently do have an alarm that was already installed, already here. And so that is still engaged. And we have, because we do want to take care of stuff inside, and we have the wrought iron. But you know what? I haven't worried about it since. God's our provider. And God provided for us to replace the units and to do all of that we needed to also. So I could have said, Lord, don't ever take anything from me, and I'll never experience your hand of replenishing. But God wants to show us every facet of his goodness and his glory and his provision. And so sometimes things go well for us and sometimes they don't. But you're always in his hands, and we never have to worry. The reason we worry is we lay up for ourselves on earth. Again, let me just begin verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, or thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's context here. The idea is worry. That's the bottom line here. Yes, there are some major points in these texts. We could stop and talk about money and wealth, and we could stop and talk about your eye. The point is worry. We're going to try to work this all together here. But he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. And then he says, because these things can happen. Instead, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Don't be busy with these things. Be busy with these things. And where your investment is, your heart is going to be. Wherever you're spending the most time, talent, treasure, wherever you're investing the most, that is where your heart is going to be, because you are worried about it. If you have a very, very nice car, I've seen them. I've seen the cars. I've seen the people with them. And they love to wash that baby over and over. Can't polish it enough. You get in their vehicle and you got to get in slowly. You slide all the way across and right out the other side. It's so Armor-All'd, or you can't even use Armor-All now. No, I just use the natural stuff. I don't want this thing falling apart. Got a canopy, everything. Got my Mustang, but it's a Corvette canopy. Looks like a Corvette when I cover it, but that's my next car. When people will drive by with their beater car and says, my other car is a Corvette, lying to everybody so that they think that they have something nice. But we worry. We worry about the wrong things because we invest in the wrong things. It's where we put all of our stock, in those things. What you invest in the most reveals where your heart is. That's something we should actually, that would be a Selah thought right there. Not because I said it, because you need to really think about what you're investing in the most. Where is your time going? Where's your money going? Where your thoughts drift? What do you love? What do you turn the television to? What is it you revolve around? What kind of posters, if any, or pictures do you have in your home? We need to be very careful, because where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. Whatever is important to you will preoccupy you. I heard the story of a man in Mexico who was traveling, and the buses were old, and they strapped stuff and tied it down whenever the bus was full. You had to strap your stuff on the roof. And so this guy was just coming. The people could see at a distance this man coming, just lugging a bunch of stuff. And people were like, wow, that guy's got a lot of stuff. And they could see that he was just so concerned about his stuff. And he got there and he kept trying to throw his stuff up. And finally, a couple of them said, you know, we're going to help him. This guy's just so worried about his stuff. So they got down and helped him put it up and secured it and got everything in for him and helped him out. And so he gets on the bus and they're like, man, finally this guy can relax and chill out, man, and rest for the trip. Well, as the bus took off, they found the man never did relax. He kept going, looking up there, feeling for stuff, making sure the stuff was there. He was worried about his stuff. We worry about stuff. We worry about our education. Will I have enough? Will I look good enough? Will it take me far enough? We worry about status. Am I important enough? By the way, status is relative. You can think you arrived in one group and be around in another group and nobody knows who you are. They could care less. I could be right. I may have been in an elevator this weekend with somebody who has tons of money. I joked around with him and I don't know who he is, didn't care. That stuff doesn't matter. That's all relative. The question when I talk about relative is, who are you to Christ? Because that's the only thing that's going to really matter. I'd hate to rub elbows with some of these rich guys and stand before the Lord one day to find that that stuff was very, very unimportant. I don't want to worry about those things. Status. Some worry about sports. Oh, they stress out. 2 minutes left. Oh, whoa. Man, come on, you gotta do it for me, baby, come on. And then the complete pat, the first down, yeah, you're dancing. The Lord, we're singing worship and let the glory of the Lord rise among us. I don't like songs so much, come on. But that first down caused you to dance like a whiny fool. Just, yeah, all right, woohoo. Pointing to the television, talking to the other quarterback, texting. We got you guys. And yet, we don't get excited about the Lord. We worry about who's going to win the game. I learned, you know, I love football. And I don't get to watch it so much. What I've learned is the more you distance yourself from the things of the world, the less it has your heart. When I was so in, if the Cowboys lost, that was a couple of days of recovery. When the Cowboys won, love in the morning. Just so wonderful. How are you doing? We beat your team. Got bragging rights. I can lose the rest of the year, but I got you. So that's football. Who cares? I learned, you know, none of the Cowboys or Spurs or any other team, none of them died for my salvation. None of them gave their life for me. And so if they win, if they lose, it's fine. I'm going to be okay. I don't even get to watch the games as much now, or I don't hardly get to watch any games. But because I don't, I found I actually care less. Who's on the line? I don't know. Who's that guy? He's in a Cowboys jersey. Must be a cowboy. I don't really know anymore. And you know what? I'm no worse for it. In fact, I've got more time to glorify the Lord. I've got more resources because you don't just watch football when you're out there in the world. You also got to have the 12er, the 12 pack, the beer. And so many a resource went to entertainment and foolishness. So I worried about the wrong things, sports and money. We worry about money. You know, God's not against money. God's not against wealth. He gave wealth. Abraham was wealthy. Job seemed to be pretty wealthy. He's not against wealth. What he's opposed to is the desire for it, the drive for it. And that drive for it stresses us out. It worries us. And he says that the lamp is the body of the eye. Do you see where this is going? It's not like this weird scripture he places right in there. Okay, we're talking about worry. We're talking about money. And bam, the eye. He's saying what you fix your eyes on is what's going to consume you on the inside. If you're taking in light, if your eyes are fixed on good things, godliness, righteousness, oh, how good that is. But if it's on empty things, dark things, how great is that darkness? How vast is that emptiness? It's the wrong place to fix your gaze. For whatever you look at, you tend to follow. They teach in gymnastics that if you're on the balance beam, you don't look down at your feet. You look straight. Your body's built to kind of walk straight, so you don't have to overthink things. You just need to look straight. They used to teach those who were farmers before they got lasers and everything today. They say, look, when they trained their sons, look on that object. Don't look here. Don't even look at the end of the row. Look beyond it. Look at some object way beyond it, and you will plow a straight line. Jesus said, look to me. The author of Hebrews said, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. How far ahead should we look? Look to Jesus. What about the apartment? How far should I look? A job? How far? 5 years down? 2 weeks down? How far should I look? Jesus. You look to Jesus. Oh, that's right. You're my provider. Do you even want me in that apartment? Oh, I didn't even think about these questions until I looked to Jesus. What are you doing, Lord? You are my provider. What am I doing wrong? If I'm so worried, what am I doing wrong? Where am I not trusting you? Where am I not following you? The lamp of the body is the eye. What you get your eyes on guides you. We set our eyes on all sorts of things that lead us astray. Lustful things that lead us astray. So that we can't even look at, if you're married, your spouse the same. Doesn't fulfill, doesn't satisfy. You look at other girls differently. Sadly. And you wonder, how do I get this out of my eye? Well, stop. And then it's a cleansing process. You've got to stop looking at it. Let your heart be cleansed out and it'll stop. It will stop. But it's a process of God taking that and washing it out of you. But you have to stop it. Stop looking at it. So stop fixing your eyes on lustful things. Selfish ambitions. Where you'll sacrifice your family and every resource you have to get something. But you don't have the one thing that God has given you. And it's very possible you're not going to heaven because you don't have your eyes on Christ. And you can't find your way to heaven. Nothing will bring you there. You have to look to Jesus. The context here is money. Because the world system and the lack of money has caused a lot of worry. We all worry about how much money we have or how much money we need. When we worry, we set our eyes on one of two things. One, we set our eyes on the problem. When you worry, it's because your eyes are on the problem. I see the problem. I'm consumed with the problem. Rent is due. That's the problem. Rent is due. Now, there's nothing I can do about it. Right. So you worry. There's nothing you can do about it. So you worry. You worry. I don't have any friends. Worried about not having friends. What if I don't make friends? If I can't make friends? And you worry about it. Or maybe our eyes aren't on the problem itself. Our eyes now have turned from the problem to some sort of solution. Now we're worried about a fix for the problem. Okay, how can I get the money for the rent? How can I get it? Okay, I got to look around. What I need to do this, Lord. I've got to do something. And your eyes are not on the Lord. Your eyes are on some fix, and that's why you worry. There's too much to think about. There are too many options. There's too much. What does God want? What is God even doing? Maybe He wants you to be still. Maybe the last minute He does want to do something. You remember Israel where they were leaving Egypt, and they were stuck up against the Red Sea. What are we going to do? They were worried too. God said, don't stop. Stop doing all that praying. Lift up your staff. And God opened the ocean. It was an option that was never even there. They didn't even consider that as an option. And yet it was God's provision. We're so often looking out at options we can figure out when God's got something He wants to blow us away with. You don't have to worry. Again, if you're following the Lord with all your heart. Now, if you're not, then you got a lot to worry about. So I suggest getting yourself in God's will. So we set our eyes either on the problem or a solution to the problem other than Jesus. The Scriptures teach us this. Set your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And then it says this. This segues us right into the next text so that it all comes together very nicely. No one can serve two masters. You see how that worked? You can't serve you. You can't serve others. You can't serve money. You can't serve the Lord. You're either going to look to those things. You're going to look at the problems. You're going to look at the fixes. You're going to look at yourself as the resolution. Or you're going to look to Jesus. You can't serve both. You can't do both. You can't fix your eyes on both at the same time. Eve looked at the fruit, saw that it was good. It drew her in. A car salesman. Whoa, from Eve to a car salesman. They're a lot alike. No. The car salesman, what does he want to do with you? He wants to get you in the vehicle. They say that sales go up dramatically if they can get you in it. Just get their hands on it. Get them into where they can smell it. They can drive it and see the colors of the lights. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is me. This is me, man. I couldn't see it on the outside. I saw the price tag on the outside. That prohibits. But once I got on the inside, I started doing the math. Oh, well, you know, we could actually afford it. $800 a month. It's not so bad. I mean, I pay for that for a house. I could actually live in this if I had to. We start reasoning. They know that. The enemy knows that. He wants your eyes on the wrong things. And Jesus is consistently saying, get them off the problems, get them off the future, and get them onto me. What are you looking to? What are you worried about? What are you trying to control? Think. I'm going to say these questions again. So I want you to think about this. This is a very important study. We're talking about worry. Next week, we're moving on. So this is a one-timer here. What are you looking to? What are you worried about right now? What are you trying to control right now? What consumes your thoughts right now? The first step to curing worry in your life is identifying it. Identifying what you're worried about. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father, he's getting their eyes on him, feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? A second key, I guess, one, identifying your worry. A second key to remember, to overcoming worry, remember who your provider is. It's not the government. It's not your boss. It's not the paycheck. Although he may use some of those means, it is the Lord. Worry doesn't add one cubit to your stature. In other words, worry doesn't do anything. It does nothing except stress you out, cause you to go to the hospital. Then you're worried about hospital bills. It's been said, worry is like a rocking chair. There's a lot of motion involved, but you don't get anywhere. It's so true. You know, instead of worrying, why not pray? All the time and energy spent on worrying, rattling things around in your brain, why not let it go beyond the brain and seek the Lord? Worry has been called the plague of the 21st century. There have been more books, articles written on stress and worry than any other topic. We have stress tests today. We have anxiety attacks today, and it's all fruitless. It does nothing. In fact, worry reveals a problem. The fact that you would worry reveals a problem. It shows, well, we just read it, O you of little faith. It shows that you have little faith, that you're lacking in faith. It shows that you're not trusting in God completely.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people.
Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.